Ringers, the Golden Jubilee Special.
Hello, I'm that Dimbleby that the BBC always wheels out for pompous events. As the Queen ends her Golden Jubilee tour of the nation, we take this chance to look back to the last Jubilee tour.
Hello, I'm John Peel. I fondly recall the Queen's tour of 1977, when she first went out on the road.
Hello, Wembley! Are you ready to rock?
Yes, by choosing God Save the Queen, Her Majesty rebelled against the establishment of the day, who were, of course, the Sex Pistols. And her notoriety was enhanced by her habit of smashing up her crown and mitre during the encore. The 90s, though, were less kind. The Queen's group lurched from one crisis to the next. Several left due to monarchical differences. And one choked on his own volivant. A misjudged duet with Lamal from Kajagoogoo failed to chart. And most embarrassing of all for the Queen, Prince Edward won Pop Idol. However, in 2002, the boost the Queen's career needed was to come from two most unlikely supporters.
Dear Liz, you're the biz. That's how it is. If a guy wins a Windsor, no way he bends her, he pins her. Just like Prince Phil. He's killed more with his gun than Slim ever done. I love him, and you're no fool. You rule. Liz R, superstar. This is my hymn. You're Slim.
Wow. You're the Queen, and that's how you should be treated. On a toilet, you are never seated.
Rock on, Your Majesty.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Too orangey for crows. Coming up later on Radio 4, there's a full guide to how you can celebrate the Golden Jubilee. But that won't be for listeners on Longwave, as you haven't quite finished celebrating the end of the Boer War. But now, the Archers. And the Jubilee has certainly caused headaches for the residents of Ambridge, as they've been forced to crowbar in half a page of script to sound vaguely topical.
Oh, Eddie! Our boy could have thrown his whole future away by getting mixed up with Jazzer and them drugs. It's no way to live a worthwhile life. Like, for example, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, who has ruled over these British Isles so majestically.
That's right. I think it's miserable seeing an old cow suffer like that.
Pardon, Eddie?
Sorry, I thought we were still shoehorning in references to foot and mouth.
Jack, what's your most treasured memory of Her Majesty?
Dow, when I last saw her, she was resplendent in a flowing ball gown. Her back legs were wobbling. And she was foaming at the mouth. Oh, sorry, that's an old BSE reference.
Now, that's enough. Will everyone please just concentrate on only clumsily crowbarring in references to the royal family and no other recent topical events?
Here, what about that evil bloke in the papers perpetrating a reign of terror against people not of his creed and deservedly the most hated man on the planet?
Joe, I told you to talk about the royal family, not Osama bin Laden.
Who mentioned bin Laden? I'm talking about Prince Philip.
It is with great sadness we are here for the reading of Her Majesty the Queen Mother's will. And in keeping with all sad royal occasions, it will of course be sung by Sir Elton John.
Goodbye to my folks. You're getting quite a bit of cash. Not as much as you should have done, because I was a bin flash. 'Cause it seemed to me it was more fun to spend it on the booze. And I did sit at the Derby, which I thought would never lose. But you still end up with millions, because the law is lax. Yes, that fawning toady Tony lets you off inheritance tax.
Since 1957, the Queen has never missed broadcasting her Christmas message, except once in 1967 when she got totally hammered on Advocar slammers and was found congoeing down Pall Mall in her underwear with Marion Faithful. Luckily, the BBC had an understudy on permanent standby.
Hello. And welcome to the Queen's Christmas Message with me, Martin Jarvis. My husband and I have had a very good year. Not just because we've got pots of cash. No, it's because we've enjoyed listening to countless audio tapes by Martin Jarvis. Such as Martin Jarvis reads the state opening of Parliament. And Martin Jarvis launches the Queen Mary. God bless this ship and all who buy Martin Jarvis audio cassettes.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. By royal appointment. Remember when some lunatic broke into the Queen's bedroom in 1982? It was me. There was no one around, so I went through her underwear drawers. Just as I got to the one with the thongs, I heard the Queen approach. She sat on the bed and we had a nice chat. She said it was the first time someone had been up her drainpipe for years. After that, we had a passionate affair. She finished it when I dropped my post-coital cigarette and started a fire. It wasn't the great fire at Windsor Castle, though. Oh, no. I started that one deliberately.
Hello, Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, hello, Queen Elizabeth.
Yes?
Oh, hi there. Listen, this is George. I just wanted to call personally and wish you all the very, very best.
And what's that for?
Well, I can hear a little bit of noise in the background. You must have some celebrations going on right now.
No, we don't.
Oh, well, I guess that's coming a bit later, huh?
Well, it could do.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I'm sure everyone's going to unite right behind you when the time comes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, the wonderful thing is, you know, 50 years, you know, no one in America has ever won that many elections, one right after the other. I wonder, would you pass on my regards to your husband, Prince Blair?
I certainly will, yes, he's fine.
Oh, is he fine?
Yeah, he's a bit pissed at the moment, but you know how it is. As soon as the hot weather hits him, he likes a few bevvies.
Sadly, I know that only too well. My kids, especially, you may remember. But Prince Blair, he's a wonderful ambassador. What's it like, you know, having your face on stamps? Is that a bit weird?
Very strange, yes. Yeah, especially when people lick them.
Well, thank you very much. I wish you well, Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for calling, George.
To say goodbye, will you just talk royal? I like it when you do that.
Oh, you always say that to me.
When several of the Windsors appeared on an edition of It's a Knockout, the royal family demonstrated its lighter, tackier side. But members of the family had already appeared on unbroadcast editions of other game shows.
Ah, yes, yes, Bob, leather, bah, duff, bah. And indeed, why indeed not welcome to a most magisterial brain of Britain, blather, bow, scrape, guff, and defer, bah. And the contestants this week, Mr. Johnson, a retired postmaster from East Sussex, Mr. Jenkins, a retired postmaster from East Suffolk, and Queen Elizabeth II, a monarch from Buckingham Palace.
Good day, and what do you do?
So, on with the quiz, which has been in no way tailored to favour heads of state. Question one. Who wrote in 1936, "I am new to the job, but I hope that time will be allowed to me to make amends for what has happened"?
My dad.
King George VI is correct. Lather, fawn and salivate. Question two. Which famous building was redesigned in the 1820s by John Nash?
My house.
Buckingham Palace, yes. And so, Your Majesty, if you can get this final testing question right, you will have won the quiz. What is the correct way to boil an egg?
Get one servant to do it.
But if you had to do it yourself?
I I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
Is the right answer. Congratulations, Your Majesty. You win £50 of book tokens.
Book tokens? What on earth are
That's all we've got time for. Good night.
And the theme of royalty in game shows was brought right up to date with this never-before-broadcast pilot.
It's day one of Royal Big Brother, and the royal family have just finished moving in. As his luxury item, Andrew had brought a pole dancer. Philip has brought a yacht. The Queen has brought Balmoral. Anne has brought a horse. Charles has brought Camilla. And Edward has brought a hairdryer. But Philip is unhappy with the host.
There's no bloody servants.
Day two, Charles and Camilla are in the den.
I like fox hunting, I do.
Well, that's like, well, weird, right? Because I like fox hunting too. Like, totally.
Day four, Prince Philip is looking after the chickens. Day six, the inmates aren't getting along. Charles wants a turn at sitting on the throne, but the Queen won't let him near it. Harry won't share the hash cakes he's been cooking with anyone, and Prince Philip is looking after Camilla.
You're listening to Dead Ringers, the Golden Jubilee Special.
Good evening and welcome to a very special Jubilee South Bank show with me, Melvin Bragg. David Ginola, but with a first from Cambridge. Just this evening, we'll be looking back at 50 glorious years in which one very special person has ruled most magnificently.
You're listening to Today with me, John Humphreys.
Yes, it's 50 years since John Humphreys was crowned. Donald Sinden remembers the coronation.
Yes, 1953. There we all were. My whole family huddled around their Bakelite radio listening to Richard Dimbleby describe the incredible scenes.
And now the Archbishop of Canterbury approaches the radio car. All that remains now is for John Humphreys to say that he can hear him, and for the Archbishop to say, I can hear you, John, but can you hear me?
1977 marked a high point for John's reign at Today as he enjoyed his silver jubilee. Ned Sherrin recalls.
The whole nation celebrated up and down the country. People held Today Show street parties where neighbours would sit at long trestle tables with microphones and interrupt each other.
The high point of the celebrations came when John appeared on the balcony of Broadcasting House to address the crowds.
And the time is just coming up to 17 minutes past 19!
Throughout his reign, Humphreys made a point of getting out and meeting ordinary people.
Yes, I'll simply never forget the time he visited our palace. We were simply ordinary members of the royal family, and he was the actual presenter of Today. But he still made a point of going round to each and every one of us, asking us what we did. And you know what? Not one of us could answer him.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard the other day, after the guide's bring-and-buy sale, when a man came on the wireless talking about the constitutional implications of Charles marrying a divorcee. Thora shifted uncomfortably in her chair as she sipped the tepid grey liquid. It's a situation I know too well, she sighed. I nodded sagely, and my mind was cast back to a warm July evening in 1934, when King Edward VIII first laid eyes on the American Wallace Simpson, who then introduced him to the woman he'd fall in love with, Thora Heard. Back in those days, Thora was a pretty young thing of a mere 98. And was considered, alongside Mr. Pettiford from number 42, to be one of the most ravishing beauties of the day. But theirs was a love that could never be.
it was clear that Thora could never become queen, as she'd already been married to Mr. Kipling. Theirs had been an exceedingly messy divorce. There was jam everywhere. But Thora had eventually been granted custody of the macaroons. Abdication became the only option for the king. He later admitted that stepping down from the throne hadn't been as difficult as he imagined, mostly because he was in a Stannis airlift at the time. Edward and Thora were sent to a distant place where the rest of the royal family were certain they'd never see them. Wakefield. Accusations of Nazi sympathies dogged them, especially after Thora's involvement in a pre-wartime broadcast, where, to the strains of Deutschland über alles, the British people were urged to bow down before the might of the German supermen. It was quite the most controversial episode of Songs of Praise ever. Edward provoked further fury by putting pen to paper to write something in 1938 that many people found deeply offensive. Yes, the pilot episode of Last of the Summer Wine, where Compo, Cleggy and Foggy were shown pushing Hitler in a tin bath down a hill into Poland. Relations between the couple and the Queen Mother eventually thawed. And in 1969, she watched Edward being buried at Windsor Castle. 3 years later, he eventually died. So I say to Camilla Parker Bowles, you're not the first grey-haired vixen to precipitate a constitutional crisis. So you'd better watch out for Thora. But of course she won't, will she?
BBC Radio 4. If you play it backwards, you can clearly hear the name Brian Perkins. The Queen has presided over us through many great world tragedies. The assassination of Kennedy, the death of Martin Luther King, and the birth of Prince Edward. Like many others, I clearly remember where I was when I heard that Kennedy had been shot. I was on the second floor of a Dallas book depository. Holding a rifle. That's right, it was me. It was a conspiracy between the FBI, the CIA, and Radio 4. The FBI wanted him gone because he was soft on Vietnam. The CIA wanted him gone because of his dealings with Cuba. And Radio 4 wanted him gone because he wrote a particularly sniffy letter to feedback about Thought for the Day. Me, Rabbi Lionel Blue, and Lavinia Byrne got him in a triangulated crossfire. I was in the window, the rabbi was behind the fence, and from my position, I had a very clear view of Lavinia's grassy knoll.
Hello there and welcome to Film 2002 with me, Jonathan Wass. If fashionable people are clothes horses, I'm a clothes donkey. After the end of the first Star Wars trilogy in 1981, most people assumed that George Lucas didn't direct again until 1999. Not so. In the early 90s, the director worked briefly for the BBC.
In my Christmas message this year, I want to address my subjects in Great Britain, the Commonwealth, throughout the galaxy. Over the past year, my husband and I, accompanied by our droids, R2-D2, C-3PO, and Charles, travelled widely, visiting Canada, Australia, Tatooine, and the ice planet of Hoth. The year has truly been an annus horribilis, what with the blockade of the planet Naboo and the Commonwealth beginning construction of their Death Star.
Elizabeth, I feel his presence. He is near, the evil one.
But Obi-Wan, I am not yet ready to face him. I have not yet mastered the Force.
You are a Jedi, Queen Elizabeth. Your time for battle has come.
So, Queen, finally we come face to face. I am head of state here now. As we speak, my stormtroopers are already planning to perform the changing of the guard.
Draw your lightsaber, Elizabeth, and slay him.
You are defeated, Darth. Now let me see who you really are.
Elizabeth, I am your husband.
Hello, and welcome to Watercolour Challenge with me, Hannah Gordon. A cross between Judith Chalmers and some fabric conditioner. After the embarrassment of yet another portrait that made the Queen look like a 15-stone navvy, we're holding a royal portrait special. To find some new artists. Our contestants are Tracy Emin and Prince Charles. So, you've chosen to represent the Queen using excrement and your own vomit. Sensing a lot of anger here, Tracy Emin.
No, that's not Tracy's, it's mine. You'd be angry too if you'd spend the best part of 40 years waiting for a job you never get. Silly old bat.
Smashing. Oh, Tracy, your picture's lovely.
Yeah, I've done a lovely portrait of the beautiful Queen sitting by a lovely stream on a gorgeous summer's day. God, I must be pissed.
That's smashing. So we've seen the Queen represented in a twee watercolour and, of course, as pure excrement. But they're both a lot nicer than that one by Lucian Freud. Goodbye.
Radio 4, I'm the Queen. Brian Perkins isn't the daddy. No, I am. The only royal appointment you'll be getting is to get my royal studded glove in your face. King Juan Carlos of Spain came into Buckingham Palace giving it all that, so I did him with my blade. Let's just say there are now two sets of crown jewels in the tower. That sponging, freeloading ginger whale Sarah Ferguson tried to diss me too. So I did her as well. Yes, I'm stone-cold Elizabeth Windsor, clad in regal ermine and a sapphire-encrusted gimp mask. Camilla Parker Bowles thinks she's it because she's got her claws into my Charlie. Yes, all 3 grams of it I'd scored off that horse-faced son of hers. So I did a Mo Slater on her and ironed the wrinkles out of her face. That old bag needs to learn that no one tries to look older and uglier than me in this family. The other day, I was going to the state opening of Parliament in my big coach when that gormless, grinning toe-rag Blair tried to cut me up. So I whipped out my blade and cut him up instead, reducing his majority by relieving him of his black rod. So, Cherie Blair's not going to be needing that big mouth of hers anymore. Because I'm the Queen, down on your knees, nation. I know where you live.
Hello, Peach Pizza.
Oh, hello. You're a pizza place, are you?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you speak a little bit louder?
Yes, very well, very well. Are you a pizza place there?
Yeah, delivery pizzas, yeah.
Yes, yeah, so what exactly do you do? What might be a typical sort of day for you?
Sorry?
What might be a sort of typical sort of day for you?
Oh, you mean the cheapest pizza?
What do you do there?
What do we do there?
Yes, what do you do?
Oh, you haven't got a menu, right?
No, what I wonder is simply just asking, you know, what is it that you do? You work in a pizza place. What does that entail? What do you have to do in a typical day? Has anyone ever ordered a pizza to be taken to a very remote place, such as, you know, the Orkney Islands or the Highlands of Scotland or somewhere there?
Do you have the postcode?
Well,
you want to order now?
Yes, yes, I will do, yes.
Okay, so, what would you like in the pizza?
Let me see what I would like. Now then, what would be terribly appetizing? How about some beluga caviar, breast of swan, yolk of peacock egg, and a sprinkling of lark's tongue?
things I've heard at the moment is egg, and what else?
Beluga caviar, breast of swan, yolk of peacock egg, and sprinkling of lark's tongue.
Okay, would you mind just wait a second?
Okay, so that pizza might be a little outlandish for you.
Yeah.
Never mind. Tell you what, send me some dough balls and a bottle of Tizer.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers, the Golden Jubilee Special. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw and Tony Roach. The producer is Bill Dare.